A real frontline patriot brings you his one-of-a-kind perspective on freedom versus tyranny. This is the world premiere of the Political Prisoner Podcast, powered by Gateway Pundit. Now, live from solitary confinement, here's your host, January Sixer, Jake Lang.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Another episode of the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. I'm coming to you live from the D.C. jail gulag. I'm currently in solitary confinement, day, I think, 1025 of my incarceration without a trial. And today I have a very special friend, a soft-spoken lioness. She is a just incredible patriot who is going through one of the most difficult circumstances that God could ever put on somebody's lap, and she's championing her way through it. The whole entire January 6th knows and loves Razzie Berry, a.k.a. Phenomenology. She is our beloved Twitter space host for many different Jan 6 Twitter spaces. She is an election integrity juggernaut. She's just been in the battle with the Patriots for a very long time and helping us out. And so now it's time, guys, to turn this love around and show her some love. Razzie is going through a nerve degenerative, very rare form of cancer that is extremely painful. She's been battling it for 3 years. It's cost her, upwards of $400,000 in her fight already. And she just started a Give, Send, Go. And we are going to bring the whole entire Gateway Pundit family around here, all of the Jan 6 community, and we're going to show some love back today. So, guys, you know, we're going to be talking about this a few times, but there is a Give, Send, Go link in the bottom of this article and in the caption of this video. And I want you to click there. I really want you to pray to God and see what you can afford to give and give your heart's desire, because we need that. We need a miracle for Razzie. And so without further ado, Razzie, God bless you, Phenomenology. God bless you. Welcome to the Political Prisoner Podcast.
You can't make somebody get choked up in the very beginning of an interview. Come on.
I already have tears in my eyes because we were just speaking for about 15, 20 minutes before this. I was already crying, just talking about God and his unbelievable ways sometimes that he just maneuvers our life around, and how he turns our tests into testimonies. And your test that you're going through is, absolutely incredible what you've already been through and where we're at right now. We're needing a miracle from God, and we're needing a miracle from the American people.
Beautiful. Well, the way I got to know the January 6th community was really quite a surprise and quite by accident. I had been doing Twitter spaces on election integrity, just being bedridden and having mobility issues. I just can't do the work I used to do. So I tried, using my voice on Twitter and talking about things like the stolen election, not only in 2020, but also in the 2022 midterms and, America First principles, and try to really get people to get engaged as like precinct committeemen and things like that. And so, Elon Musk had not purchased Twitter yet, and January 6ers and talk about January 6th, talk about the stolen election was still very much censored, and a lot of people were still banned. And what happened, Jake, is Derek Evans, who was a member of the West Virginia House of Representatives, peacefully protested on January 6th, went inside, said hi, fist bumped a police officer. Well, he ended up going to jail to prison for that. And when he came back, I had met him in Twitter spaces, and he couldn't find anybody who would do a Twitter space on the topic. And I understand everyone was just scared. They were scared of being banned or shadow banned or being put on a list. But my heart just really went out. And I was in my own time of, struggle, but mine was with my health, and I just thought absolutely. And that's kind of how it started. We just started doing Twitter spaces and giving the January 6th community a voice, fundraising for the political prisoners, and it's been really amazing to be part of it.
Yeah, It's amazing how this community is formed around all different Americans from so many different walks of life, including yourself, and you know, being part of one of the heart and key members of this, you know, community from your bed. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody that's listening, you know, Razzy has been bedridden for a little over 2 years and really, really struggling. But she's still, now listen to this, guys. If she is still able to go and to host these spaces and to get after it and to help put in the work that's necessary to save this country from her condition, not me, not you, not anybody has an excuse to why we're not doing more. So let this, you know, let this be a call to action, first and foremost, to everybody listening, that there is nothing that can stop you if you have the will. If God puts it in the will, your will to do something, He'll let you give you the instruments and the tools necessary to complete that. And so that's what you've been doing. I want to give the audience a little bit more background on yourselves. This, I mean, demonic disease that has tried to infiltrate your body. The clinical name for it is synucleinopathy. Am I correct
with
that? It is a very rare form of cancer. And
it's actually not cancer. It's a neurodegenerative disease, really. I mean, it might as well be a cancer, but there's no chemotherapy for it. But it's like a protein that gets deposited or aggregates in the nervous system. And so there's four illnesses that are caused by the alpha-synuclein protein, and it's Parkinson's, Lewy body disease, pure autonomic failure, which is failure of your autonomic nervous system, and multiple system atrophy, which just sort of breaks down just many different systems. I'm sorry. And so it's something that we never imagined. It took a long time to get anyone to even do this particular biopsy for alpha-synuclein, and it was a long road. It was a long road trying many different things and feeling just kind of lost in the process before we got to this diagnosis.
Yeah, you told me a little bit more about the journey when we spoke earlier. I mean, you know, she's been going through this as a single mother. Her two daughters, guys, were 11 and 12 years old back in 2019 to 2020 when the symptoms really started to show forth. Your vision was getting blurry, right? You're getting pain and small seizures, and the symptoms have developed, I mean, worse and worse since then, to the point where, I mean, tell the audience a little bit about what you're currently experiencing, what you're currently feeling right now. We can hear, you know, your soft, strong voice, but because this is a podcast, I want people to understand what you're going through and the current, you know, they can only hear your voice and you sound strong, but tell us a little bit more about what's going on behind the microphone right now in your body.
Thank you, Jake. Well, I some people call me stoic because I try to keep on topics like J6, elections, things like that, because they're just not as emotional, right? They're things that you know what they are, you know, the injustice and stuff, and so you can just kind of focus. So it is hard to talk about this, but they're kind of like convulsions, like myoclonic episodes, fasciculations, weakness. It's so hard to talk about it.
It's okay.
And, yeah, dizziness and mobility issues, have trouble more with my left side than my right. And also like a proprioception issue with like vision as well. So it causes like a lack of balance. But my voice is strong, and that's why it was so neat at Twitter Spaces. Like, they're not video, so I don't have to like look into camera. You know, I can just use my voice and talk about the issues that are important and hope that I can still, you know, make a difference. And because I used to be in the integrative health publishing industry, and so I was always active, went around speaking and teaching and being able, and my body was always stronger than my voice. I've always had kind of a little quiet voice, but my body was always much stronger. But I am grateful that I still have my voice, and I can speak on important issues with people like you, Jake.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I think it's God. Well, God bless you for this, these massive hurdles that have been put in your life that you just keep on striding through with a smile, and know that it's not easy. We've spoken, about some of the struggles and just that spirit of that same overcoming spirit that Jesus had in that tomb. 3 days, the death wouldn't hold him back. That he was just going to make it through. I know that same spirit of God lives in your heart, and that's why we're doing this, because we want to speak about. I mean, this is a horrific disease, but we want to bring light. We want to show God's light that you're.
You have one minute remaining.
You're pushing through it unencumbered, and that if, there's that age-old saying, if you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. It's whatever you got to do to get through, to continue to battle, you're doing. And that is the best American spirit that kind of forged the frontier in this country. And so you embody that, and we love that about you, Razzie. And so when we come back, guys, from this quick message here from our awesome sponsor, sponsorj6.com, we're going to talk more with Barry Razzie, a.k.a. the X-Phenomenology. She is the host of many Twitter spaces and has raised countless dollars for the January 6th community and all my political prisoner brothers. And, guys, now it's time to turn the tables and to help out Razzie with her Give, Send, Go. So, guys, go right now to the link in the bio and in this video and click on that and please help her out. We'll be right back with the Political Prisoner Podcast. I'm Jake Lang. Hey, guys, welcome back to the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. If you guys can tell today, just in a more of a somber and serious mood, because my guest and one of my very special friends and just a beloved member of our community, Razzie Barry, is with me right now. Everybody knows her as Phenomenology on Twitter and X, and she's just absolute lion. Just going through using her voice as her weapon here to help spread the truth for years, as she's been bedridden with demonstrative nerve degenerative disease that is just, this is some really bad stuff, guys. But we're lucky, we're blessed by God. There are new treatments available, and so today we're doing a big old fundraising push for Razzie. We're getting out of the woodworks. I want to make this comparison, guys. This is something I'm going to hit hard with this, so listen up, everybody. We have liberals, right, on Give, Send, Go that are raising $80,000, $100,000, $150,000 to put their friends, to put their sons and daughters through sex change operations, to get them all kinds of mutilation, right? And if the conservative community, the patriot community, cannot put together the money that's needed on this Give, Send, Go account. I mean, guys, we got to get our stuff together here. So I'm imploring everybody. I'm pushing as hard as I can. Guys, go right now to the Give, Send, Go. We are putting Razzie through these new stem cell treatments that could possibly help repair, restore, or at the very least, God willing, stop the neurological damage that's been happening in her body that's basically giving her multiple systems atrophy. Many different nerve systems in her body have been failing these last 3 years. She's become bedridden, and we've got to stand behind her right now. So if the liberals can do it for a sex change operation, we should be able to do it to save Razzie's life, guys. God bless. We're going to do this by the Spirit of God that moves through every single listener right now. Please, guys, go to that Give, Send, Go link that's in the bio right now and help Razzie out. So without further ado, Razzie, you're back with us. Thank you for joining me again today. You're brave, you're strong, you're all things good and holy, and I truly mean that. You are an inspiration.
Thank you, Jake. Well, I appreciate that. It's been quite a lifestyle change from being a busy homeschooling mom, active, frequent hiker, you know, publisher, speaker to this. It's been really, you know, again, I don't really use my platform on Twitter to talk about my situation, so it's very kind of you to invite me here, but it's been hard. It's hard on my girls. It's, you know, it's just a lifestyle, just kind of devastating. I had to close my business of 18 years, which was really heartbreaking, including for the employees. But I'm hoping that there is still hope. I still, my heart's still beating. We're speaking. My voice is still strong. And that's why I use my voice on Twitter or X to just talk about the issues that are important to me. And I try to project not a person that's sick. I try to project a person that's empowering and inspiring. And I kind of actually had hoped that I could do that, not talk about being sick, and then maybe Twitter rev, ad rev or something would help me get to the stem cells. But I got a $53 check from that. So even though I have 60,000 followers, I just don't think Twitter ads are very helpful to conservative accounts. So this is just kind of putting my pride aside.
Well, God bless you for, don't worry about that. There's no such thing. In this battle that we're in, this is a family. And when we're talking about family scenarios here, you have to put the truth out there. You have to let people know what's truly happening behind the scenes. Behind all of these phenomenal Twitter spaces is a woman that is giving her life for this cause. And so, guys, let's do our part to help out. Razzie, talk to me. We got some questions. Let's talk about J6 a little bit here. And
Yes. Why
did you get involved? I mean, my understanding from what you just spoke about a little bit was that basically everyone else on Twitter, when our brother Derek Evans got out of prison, was too afraid to host these Twitter spaces. What made you bold enough to do this? Why did you want to get involved with J6?
Well, first of all, I don't fault those people for being afraid. You know, somebody has to kind of break the sound barrier, right? Like, I understand people didn't want to be put on a list or there's reasons to be afraid, but I figured that if I didn't do it, who would? And my account at the time wasn't very big, but I wanted to just, I figured I already had lost so much that what could they take from me, right? You know, not from the government did I lose things, but through this illness. And so I figured if my voice in this broken body, if my strong voice could help, then let's do it.
I love that. I love that. That's the attitude, guys. It's like the, well, I've got nothing to lose. What else can they take from me? I kind of feel that way sometimes as I'm sitting in my prison cell. I'm like, well, I've already kind of, you know, come to the end of the line here, so there's nothing holding me back from pushing even further. I love that. That's a similar spirit to how I feel sometimes. So that's awesome. And, you know, those people out there that were too afraid, I think that you've opened up. There's multiple Twitter spaces happening all the time now about January 6th in these last few years. I think that they've, you know, there's this famous quote by one of our founding fathers that's basically like, in the time of tyranny, nobody wants to be a patriot because the stakes are so high. But when the patriots step up and do their job, then everybody follows suit because the stakes, you know, the possibility of losing everything is not so high. So thank you for being one of the first to jump into this battle. Another question about the J6 Twitter spaces, Razzie. What's your favorite part about hosting a January 6th Twitter space?
Oh, wow. Well, if it's something where it's live, where you guys are, and we hear them sing the national anthem, the first time I did a space where that happened, it was just like, you know, even though I couldn't see the listeners.
You have 1 minute remaining.
You know, I was in tears. They were in tears. It was such a powerful, patriotic moment. And then I would say just because there was nowhere that people could speak, you know, I'm just one small account, but just being a place where people's voice can be amplified to talk about justice. Because, look, January 6th is a big octopus. And what they did was they stopped the Fed's direction, stopped the legal objection to the certification of a fraudulent election. And That is
hey,
what they
I'll
did.
Stop right there, Razzie. When we come back on the other side of this break, we're going to pick up right where we just left off right there.
Okay.
I love the train of thought you're going down, guys. You're listening to the Political Prisoner Podcast. Jake Lang, stay right where you are. We'll be back in a moment.
Okay.
Hey, guys, welcome back to the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang, coming to you live from the D.C. jail hole. I'm in solitary confinement. And, guys, I've got just, I mean, courage amplified, courage personified here with me. Razzie Berry, a.k.a. the ex-Twitter space host, Phenomenology, the January 6th beloved member of our community. She's just been with us through thick and thin, battling this corrupt tyranny and election integrity battles with us, standing in the gap, making sure that our voices are amplified. A lot of prisoners, a lot of people have relied on Razzie for their voices being told, helping raise money. And now, guys, like I said before, we're flipping the script. We're showing the love that the conservative community, that this Jan 6 Patriot community has for the people who stand beside us and are willing to basically go to bat for us, and no pun intended with my charges there, guys, but the people that are willing to go to bat for us, we got to be able to show that same love back. So I'm going to give you guys another opportunity here. We've probably got 10, 20,000 people alone listening to this on Gateway Pundit. We got more on my social media and a few other places we post this, guys. If everybody could come into their pockets right now, make a donation of $20. We're going to raise $200,000, guys, for Razzie. That's the goal. Let's do it. Let no excuses. Guys, God will provide. The Bible tells us that he refreshes those who refresh others, and there's no better place right now to give. I truly mean this than in this ministry that we're doing right now for Razzie. So, guys, let's take care of this. If you want to pause this podcast right now, hit pause. Hop onto that Give, Send, Go link. We're talking about saving the life of a beloved member, a beloved patriot of our community. There's nothing that is more important right now. Guys, go to that link right now. I'm not kidding. Please, by the love of God, I beseech you, my beloved brothers and sisters, please help out my sister here, Razzie. Okay, Razzie, we're back now. God willing, everybody went and listened to that because you are a voice that is, I mean, we can't do without you. We love you, and we need you around. And I wanted to talk about a little bit about your just this journey, because a lot of people don't know, and we're trying to let them know that, you know, for the first about almost 2 years of this disease that you've had, this nerve degenerative disease, synucleinopathy, very rare, very destructive to the body. They basically toyed with you, not saying that they wanted to, but they didn't know what was wrong with you. They misdiagnosed you with Lyme disease. And tell us a little bit about that process. You know, just give us an insight on that.
Well, yeah, and I think it was all well-meaning, of course, but when, you know, somebody that I know that has a daughter with a rare disease, you know, people that are in this kind of unhappy club of rare diseases that are hard to diagnose, it's often a long struggle. Sometimes people are not believed, and there goes through many misdiagnoses. So I don't think it was intended at all. But, you know, first they just said it was some sort of rare migraine variant. I tried treatment for that. I knew that wasn't the case because migraines don't do what this has done. But then I was told it was mold illness, and I had to tear for hidden mold spores that have been maybe gotten in my nervous system and my brain. So I went through intense detoxification treatments. I, you know, three times a week or more IV therapies and many, many supplements and detoxifications and other applications. And then I had to get rid of everything in my home that they said could have mold, hidden mold spores. So mattresses, sheets, towels, my children's clothing, my children's toys. We actually left our home with a backpack each and went to an Airbnb and had everything taken out and thrown out. And then they tore out walls, bathrooms, under the kitchen, new roof, everything to make sure whatever was causing so much destruction was gone. And then that had to be all put back together. So that was extremely expensive while I was going through the treatments. But I just was not getting better. I was worsening. So then I went to another clinic in Utah that specializes in mold illness and went through 5 hour a day of infusions of some sort of detoxification that was supposed to help for mold. And people that were there that had actual mold illness were getting better. But I noticed like I could not like walk across the room by myself, and they were, you know, after their infusions, they were all going out to dinner together. So I knew something was wrong.
And these infusions, Razzie, guys, she has spent, I think I read on her Gibson Go, up to $430,000 throughout this last huge fight. All these different procedures, all these different infusions, all these different trips and hospitals and stuff. And that's, you know, it's horrible. But, you know, that's the reality here, that we have gone, you know, Razzie has gone through all of her savings and everything she ever built with her businesses and everything. And so now it's our turn, guys, to do the right
thing.
And
I did have people in the early on, I did have people, you know, help and come together when we thought that it was, you know, mold and Lyme, but it just wasn't, and the treatments didn't help. And then I had to get something called plasmapheresis, where they like hook you up and they like filter your blood. That was very expensive, $50,000 for plasmapheresis because it was not covered by insurance. And then I had to have a plasma donor as well. I ended up with a blood clot from my jugular down my subclavian, down my arm, hospitalized for 8 days to try to break up the clot, thank gosh. And I'm not vaccinated or anything like that, but so that was difficult. Just, you know, then did all the IV, 2 months of IV antibiotics for in case I had a hidden infection or hidden Lyme disease. Just, I don't want to just bore you with every detail, but it was all of those things happened before I ended up finally getting the biopsy that tested for the alpha-synuclein. And that's where we are now.
And so let's just talk quickly. It doesn't have to be super quickly. We got all the time we need. I'm in prison. You're laying in your bed. I mean, let's be real here, guys. It's your time, the audience, that we're asking you to give your attention and help us out here with Razzie's condition. So, like I mentioned earlier, we are taking a shot for, a miracle here. There are new stem cell treatments you're telling me about. That's what this gives, Senko. That's what this money's going towards. We're sending you down to Tijuana to an American doctor who's down there. He doesn't have the restrictions that the American system has to do these new, this is what a German immunotherapy, new technique that has been developed that, has an amazing possibility of, you know, coming out here with the miracle that we stop these synuclein proteins, right? The proteins themselves, they're ganging up and they're building up in the wrong places, and they're causing nerve degenerative diseases to attack her. Pure anatomic failure, multiple system atrophy, and so we're fighting science with science here, and God's gonna bless it. So tell us a little bit about this Tijuana clinic and the American doctor and the situation that we're going to be funding the American people that are listening right now, guys. Listen
yes,
to this.
So,
this sounds
so
like
the
actually,
hope is to start
you know,
with a the hope is to start with a 2 week stay. I think that's the smallest amount that you can stay at. They treat cancer and neurodegenerative diseases and some severe immune diseases. And so the goal is to start with the 2 week stay. And I would also need a companion to transport me there. And you have to have somebody there. And hopefully that would be something possible. I mean, that's another reason why I'm so interested in politics, because why should you have to be, you know, ruled by big pharma here in the United States, and yet you have to go out of the states to try treatments like this? Like, there are some types of stem cells available here in the United States, but they're not the same type and strength that you can get. That's why people go to, you know, Israel Philippines, Costa Rica, Germany, Eastern Europe, people will go when they have, you know, if they have like an ache and a pain or something, there's some stem cells people will get here, like injected into the joint. But people that have, you know, severe neurological illnesses have to go elsewhere for them. So that's what the hope is. The hope is that would, you know, be the miracle that we pray for.
Amen. Amen. And we are praying for it. And that's, I think, you know, God willing, this new therapy technique, basically they can take the stem cells, and you're telling me that they can internally, like through your nasal cavity, basically put them right into your brain, or through the right through your spine to your cerebral parts, right where this disease is affecting. And, I mean, this is targeted, heavily effective stuff that we're talking about. This is not, you know, some type of, I don't know, ridiculous procedure here that has no chance of working. We're talking about a heavily targeted stem cell treatment that are going right after the disease at the core where it's affecting. This is real deal stuff, guys. We have a great shot at saving Razzie's life when we raise this money and we send her down to Tijuana. This is real, and we need to do this.
Thank you. That's so kind of you, Jake. I'm just used to using my voice to uphold other, you know, important causes. So this is really kind, and I'm a little bit, it's kind of hard as well, but no, that is the hope. The hope is to have a chance, and, you know, I want to have a long life. I want to have an active life. I want to, you know, finish raising my daughter.
Barry, you're young. I mean, Rassi Barry, you're young, and you look young, and you've lived this amazing, healthy lifestyle. And so, you know, to segue now from a lot of these talks about the disease and stuff, let's talk about, I mean, you've been a champion of this organic lifestyle, healthy living and stuff like that, and it just goes to show you sometimes that, you know, God can even use these circumstances, scenarios. You know, you think that this kind of stuff always happens to, you know, somebody's, you know, eating McDonald's, you know, six times a week and living unhealthy, smoking six packs a day, you know, type of lifestyle. But these challenges, these rare diseases that pop up can even come against people like yourself that have, you know, championed this, you know, homeopathic, very organic, very clean living lifestyle. And it, I mean,
you have 1 minute remaining.
There's something to be said in that. And we're going to talk about faith and talk about God's plan and his, I mean, his unbelievable, sometimes incomprehensible plan for all of our lives when we come back here. And, you know, my heart just goes out to you, Razzie. I was crying before this episode started. I'm about to start crying again because I love you. And we need you around, and we're going to fight, fight like hell, like Trump said, or else we're not going to have a country anymore. We're not going to have a Razzie anymore. Like, guys, let's fight on this commercial break, guys. Again, give, send, go link, hit it up right now. We got 10, 20,000 people listening. Come out of your pockets, $20 with your generosity, and we're going to fund this. I think it's about $40,000 a week for this Tijuana clinic. So, guys, we're going to need to raise at least $100,000 or more to be able to take care of Razzie the way she needs to be. So let's take care of that right now. Go to Give, Send, Go. You're listening to the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's Jake Lang. God bless. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. We're here with the one and only Razzie Barry, a.k.a. Phenomenology, the J6 Twitter Space host extraordinaire that has given up many nights of her life, hours away on Twitter Space, helping us out from her bed, where she's fighting in a destructive disease, but it is not getting the best of her. She's still here alive and kicking, using that strong voice, that calm but peaceful. It's like a meek voice where that controlled strength, you can feel it in Razzie's speech. And so we're going to give Razzie the floor a little bit. Two segments ago, she was just ending up talking about the January 6th octopus and the Fed surrection. And so I wanted to give her time right now to tell you guys, the audience, Everybody listening on Blessed News Network, we love you. Everyone listening on Gateway Pundit, God bless you guys. You guys are the best. We got Spotify listeners, Apple Podcasts, and we're just so blessed, guys. So I wanted you guys to be able to hear Razzie's, very important take on January 6th. He's spoken to so many people about it and has a great understanding. So, Razzie, tell us about the January 6th octopus.
Well, okay, so let's remember first that on January 4th, then our Vice President, Mike Pence, also the President of the Senate, told us that he understood and agreed that there were problems with the election and that we would have our day in Congress and that we would hear the evidence. And what that means is, if you remember, there were many members of Congress who agreed. They came back from their districts knowing that there were serious problems with the election, and they were going to debate, they were going to legally object to the certification of elections, just like many Democrats did in 2016. However, in the 2016 election, when then Vice President Joe Biden asked if any senators had seconded their objection, the answer was no. So President Trump was sworn in as the rightful president in 2016. But in 2020, not only were there many members of Congress who knew that there were problems and objected, there were also members of the Senate who had already said they were going to join and agree with the objection to certify. So January 6th, when the disturbance came and the infiltrators who turned a peaceful rally and a peaceful gathering into a riot, they did President Trump no favors. By interrupting the legal objection, they actually did favors for Joe Biden. If anyone was going to try to do something in favor of the American people, they would have just peacefully allowed the Congress to object, to debate, and allow the Senate to say, absolutely, I also object. And then those states would not have been certified. But what happened instead is these infiltrators came through and they stopped that. They stopped the legal objection. And then in all the shenanigans that transpired, they went ahead, they resumed, and they certified the election without the debate that was promised, without the legal debate. So that, to me, Jake, is really one of the most missing parts of the narrative, because the interruption of our, America First congressman and constitutional abiding congressman to say, hey, no, there's a problem here. And for a senator to say, that's right, Vice President, I agree. That is what was stopped. Does that make sense?
100%. You can see, you can hear, Razzie, it's like a light bulb came on in your head and you're fired up on this. It's like, a flip has been switched. You can hear, this is why, Phenomenology is our go-to Twitter space host. She's awesome. So, yes, it makes so much sense to me. I hope it makes sense to all the people listening. There was so much to be gained by a Fedsurrection by the Democrats and nothing to be gained by a insurrection by the Republicans, having a bunch of Trump supporters storm the Capitol, God forbid, in some type of planned, thing. Had nothing to be gained by the Republican Party and by Trump himself, but everything to be gained if it was in the Fedsurrection, an incited riot by the federal agents there, by the Capitol Police, the police brutality. The Democrats have everything to gain. I think that's the number one way you figure out if there's a crime, right? See who has the most to gain and the motive.
Absolutely. That's absolutely what it is. Then the octopus is, if we look at the larger issue, the Transition Integrity Project, document publicly states that they war-gamed different scenarios of what they would do in case the tragedy against our democracy of if President Trump won. And that included unrest with social justice organizations, which we know Podesta was part of that, organizing these things, Black Lives Matter, for instance. And then let's look at the larger vision. What is happening now? We have major wars going on because of the natural gas that is in Russia and Ukraine, and the natural gas which is in Ukraine and Russia, and the natural gas that is in Iran. So while President Trump was good, better to our allies than any other president, he prevented us going to war. And while on one level there's definitely a religious note to this war, that is actually the governments are using that as pawns, so to speak, because really what they're after is the control of the natural gas in Iran, the natural gas in Russia and Ukraine. And there are a lot of factions. George Soros is part of, you know, the Cheney gas and oil industry, part of Halliburton. And so there are a lot of players, and that's why I call it an octopus. But President Trump kept our enemies at bay. He made trade fair. He strengthened our energy. He kept us away from these Green New Deals that these politicians are filling their pockets with by, you know, all these Orwellian laws. And all of these things were what they were foaming at the mouth for. And that is what President Trump put a stop to when he won the election in 2016. So this has been an all-hands-on-deck attempt. And January 6th was a very important part of that for them. And then to use that as a way to attack anybody who is, you know, constitutional-loving, patriotic, pro-America. And that is why I call it an octopus, Jake.
Guys, wow. It does paint quite the picture of what was to be gained through January 6th. And you know me, everybody knows my stances on January 6th. That I give it equal parts. You know, I love the 1776 component of American patriots standing up against tyranny, but there was a major underlying component that this was a planned Fed insurrection. There were federal agents there, and that this was an orchestration to get Trump out of office so they could usher in this new world order, one world government, you know, new style of, you know, oligarchy here, and have their way with all of these different world players and world businesses. So thank you for breaking that down for everybody. Very important. Now, let's turn the corner here. Because this world is not our home, right? We're sojourning through here. We're Christians. We know Jesus Christ in our heart. And there's many things that plague us in the world, the circumstances outside, you know, all the things happening in our country and across the world. But there's also, obviously, the things that are plaguing each one of us. And so tell me, give our listeners a little bit of insight on who Christ is in your life, and what you've learned and can understand about being somebody who's been chosen by God to be a suffering servant, just as Jesus was.
Well, we are so limited in our human existence that we can only understand it, I think, through the context of, you know, history, the Bible, and then our own personal experience. So I think that that's what makes it such a personal relationship. I mean, certainly there are times when my faith is tested, because even though this is not our home, like, it also is my home, right? My kids are here. I want to, you know, it's a natural desire, right, to want to live and to thrive. I mean, God built us that way, right, to want to be healthy. He put that will inside of us to want to bear children and to raise them and to the next generation. So I'm not going to pretend that I at all have figured it out, or that I am perfect. I'm quite flawed in that area, but it's just a moment to moment, minute to minute, day by day, just surrender.
Wow, that's humbling words, guys. We could learn a lot from laying our lives down and just trusting in God, as Razzie's doing every day. And earlier I was giving some, you know, loving ministry to my friend here, and just talking about one thing that I wanted her to comment back on about God's giving, you know, big battles is big faith. When you have small battles and small problems, God knows that your faith may not be able to handle the big ones. And so when he gives his supersized deals of struggle and overcoming and hurdles, it's because he knows that faith inside is tried and true. And do you feel at times that though it is very horrible, the circumstances, that it is also in some ways that God is blessing you because he's trusting you to be faithful through this?
I believe that. I mean, not always. So you're going to ask me to be honest. There are times where I feel like, God, I could do so much more to bring glory to you if I could be more, you know, whole. But yeah, I mean, that's what faith is, right? Your faith is just to accept. I feel like that faith means, you know, accepting what God is leading you to, but also, again, being his hands. I mean, that's why, like, again, you asked about something so simple as being the first person willing to host a dinner.
You have 1 minute remaining.
I mean, I could have just sat there and prayed for...
On the next call. We can wrap up on the next call. Don't feel rushed.
Okay. I mean, I could have just said, well, I'll just pray for January 6ers instead. But I didn't think that was enough. So I prayed for them and wanted to use my voice. So I think that that's the mystery of it that I still haven't figured out.
Amen. There's so much to be said, profound, that when the faith transcends just the spiritual and it moves into the physical, and you're willing to make action on your faith, that's when the faith actually becomes sealed. It's you know, you say, when you're free in Christ, you're free indeed. Well, it's when that faith turns into action that it's true faith. And so thank you for taking action. Raz, you guys, we're going to bring her back for another segment here. We're going to pray a little bit, and don't go anywhere. Don't miss this prayer. Love you guys. You're listening to the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang, guys. We've had such a heart-opening. I mean, if this doesn't make you feel, if this doesn't touch down into the core of your being, what we're talking about here today, You may want to check your pulse, guys. I'm here with my great friend, Razzie Berry. She's a champion struggling through one of the most crippling diseases. It affects multiple parts of her nervous system, and it is a nasty little bugger. But we have hope, guys. We have hope in this situation. We have hope in general because we know Jesus. But, guys, we're pushing again for stem cell treatment. There's a Gibson Go that just opened up. I'm going to say this again. If the left can do it for sex change operations for minors, right, they could raise $100,000, $200,000 on GoFundMe, then we, us as Christians and conservatives and patriots, we can raise $200,000 on Gibson Go. So, guys, go to that Gibson Go account. Let's do something to save Razzie's life. Let's send her down to an amazing new therapeutic stem cell treatment facility in Tijuana run by an American doctor who's got a clinic in California and does this next level stuff outside the country because we've got some regulations here. So guys, head over to the Gibson Go. I'm not going to say it again. Head over there, please, for the love of God and everything holy. Razzie, we've got you here. Give a closing statement. Where's your hope, and how do people have resilience like you? Where do people find it? How can they listen to this and turn and apply it to their own lives?
Okay, so now I'm going to get emotional. Okay, so I wish I could give you or the listeners some like tips on how to find resilience, but really resilience is the proof that God does exist in all of us, because I have no idea where it comes from, if I'm honest. Like, literally, I try to just fake it as much as I can on Twitter spaces and try to project, you know, strong voice, and but inside it's not as easy. But the fact that there is this just desire to fight and to live, not just for yourself or for being able to do good for the world, but also for, like, our children. It's something that I can't explain and I can't take any credit for at all. It's just a blessing that I can't take any credit for or teach.
Amen. Amen, that desire. And I think that that may be the key takeaway. It's not something that we can obtain ourselves. Grace is the free gift of God. His grace is your resilience. His grace is that you're still here and you still got a strong voice. These are not things that we can get on our own. We need God. And I thank you so much, guys. We're going to say a prayer right now. I'd love if everybody in the audience joined me. And just prostrate your heart before God. Open up our hearts and make them like a bowl shape so that we can allow God to pour into us right now and pour into our sister, Razzie. Father God, Lord, your ways, as we know, Lord, are much higher than ours. Your thoughts are higher than ours. They are so far above us. It's as far as heaven is above earth, Lord. And so they're incomprehensible. Your plans and the way that you weave this tapestry together, Lord, the way that you bring people into our lives and you bring purpose into our lives, that you can bring out of a dead situation life. Lord God, you are the God of regeneration. And so we pray in Jesus' name, by his spirit, by the hem of the woman who reached out, who had the blood disease of 18 years, Father God, who reached out in faith to Jesus' cloth, that you bring that same supernatural healing from heaven, the wholeness that Jesus promises to all who believe, who ask according to your will, Father, that you bring that wholeness into Razzie's life right now, Lord God, into her body, that she is regenerated, Lord God, that these treatments, these stem cells take hold and they start to do the restoration process, the renewal and revival that comes through your spirit, God, that you have taught us is real and it is living and it is alive, God. We're asking for these things to show forth in Razzie's body, Lord God, and we know that you're already working these things out right now, that the promises that you have for us are yes and amen. And so we're starting to thank you in advance that you're doing these things, that you're going to help us meet this financial goal on Gifts and Go, that you're going to help these stem cells take hold in her body and start to restore that which has been broken by the enemy, Lord God. And we thank you for Razzie's resilience and her testimony that is speaking into all of our hearts, all of the Americans that are listening right now, that nothing is impossible, that you are truly the God that can take the ashes and turn them into beauty, Father God, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus, who also said, God, let this cup pass from me, but not my will be done, let your will be done, Father. So let your will be done in Razzie's life, in the life of the Jan Sixers, in our family, in our country, God. We know you have good plans for us. You promise us in Jeremiah 29:11 that you have a good hope and a future for us, that you will not forsake us. And so, God, we hold tight. If we have nothing else, we have our conviction, our promises onto that promise right now. We thank you for the life and the love and the light that Razzie is to all of us, Lord God. And we just ask you to keep her with us a little bit longer, Father, a lot of it longer, Father, to tell you the truth. We want to see Razzie grow old with her children and see her children's children, Father. It is our birthright. It is our inheritance. It must be. There must be a Christian advantage to being your sons and daughters, that you would lavish us with good gifts, that when we ask you for a piece of bread, Lord God, you will not give us a stone, because you are a good Father, and we hold tight to that, Lord God. We love you. We worship you, we adore you, even in the lowest valley, even in the hospital bed, even in the treatment clinic, even in the prison cell, God. We hold tight to you, Father, because we love you with all our hearts, and we trust you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, Lord God, bring deliverance from this sickness to Razzie Berry's body. Our phenom, she is phenomenal, Lord God. You've made her that way. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah and amen.
Amen. Take amen. Thank you for that.
Amen. Amen, guys. We love you. Razzie, be whole. God bless you. Go forth. I'll see you on a Twitter space very soon. And
okay.
Guys, go to the Gifts and Go. Enough said. We love you. God
Thank
bless
you. Thank
you
so much.
And cut. All right. That was phenomenal. Thank you. It's
Thank
my
you.
Honor and pleasure to bring you on to that.
It was
really
so kind and generous of you.
Your story deserves to be told. Well,
thank you so much.
I I felt called by God to do it. I felt called by God to do it. You know, these are this platform that you have and that I have. You use yours to help me. I use mine to help you. I think that's what the kingdom of heaven looks like.
That's beautiful. Please let me know when the link's live so I can share it.
Yeah, I'll put it up. We have an episode going out this week on Gateway Pundit with me and Professor Clement. And so I'll put you out next week on Gateway Pundit, and I'll get, you know, everything all edited together. Just shoot me over a good photo that you like to use of yourself for the flyer, okay?
Okay. Okay, Jay. God bless you. Keep me in the loop of everything.
Of course. Yes, I will. And we'll plan out another Twitter space soon, and we'll keep just chopping at it until we make some headway here. We already have them.
God bless you, Jake.
We're blessed. Don't
Thank you so
how
much.
You are. God bless
okay.
you. Love you.
Bye-bye. Love you, Jake. Bye-bye.